Today we'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 21. We'll be talking about Palm Sunday today because today is Palm Sunday. The Sunday before Jesus was crucified, he came into Jerusalem mounted upon a small donkey, a baby donkey actually, as we're going to see here in the Word, and was praised and adored and magnified, and it was a great, glorious day. And yet we mourn that just a few days later he needed to face the cross and to go through that for us. And then we have the happiness and the beauty of the resurrection from the dead, which actually promises our resurrection. For he told us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means resurrection for us. And he then went ahead and died and was raised from the dead to prove it, to be the firstborn among many brothers, as the Bible puts it. And so it's a glorious fact, and we know it to be true. 500 people, more than 500 people, saw Jesus alive after his resurrection to bring that stamp of approval on the whole idea of everlasting life, for which we are so very thankful that life has just begun for us. It's just begun. This first 100 years is down here, and the rest of it is in the universe somewhere cruising with Jesus. For when we do get to see him face to face, the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherever he goes, we go. It's like when dad and mom say, are getting ready to go somewhere, and the kids say, can we go? And sometimes the dad and mom have to say no or yes. Yeah, you can come. And Jesus will always say, yeah, come on, saddle up, let's go. So when the Lord comes back down to the earth, we'll come with him. He's going to be mounted on a horse, so we get our horses. You know, it's kind of like the Lord says, you know, I'm going to get on my horse now and go back to the earth to take care of business. Can we go too? Sure. Can we have horses too? Sure. Saddle up. And then we come on back with the Lord down to the earth to be here and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then he creates the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And wherever he is, that's where we'll be forever and ever. Never to be apart from our loving best friend that we come to know so well here upon the earth. Ever to be right there with him, to tap him on the shoulder, to say, Jesus, what are we going to do today? Hey, where are we going? Beautiful. Ah, just beautiful. It's all beautiful, isn't it? The Lord is so good. Let's go to Matthew 21 and talk about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, Jesus and his disciples came to the Mount of Olives, which is right across from the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. And he was there at the top. It's only a very short walk from where the Temple Mount is to the Mount of Olives. It's right across from that area. In the middle, there's a brook called Kidron that's since dried up, but it was flowing well in those days. And Jesus then is standing over Jerusalem, and he now gives his disciples a command. And let's read about it. It says, when they drew near to Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, that's a little village at the top of Mount of Olives, on the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied, and a colt with her, a little baby donkey with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And straightway he will send them. Now the Lord knew in his heart that someone would ask that question. And so as the disciples went into the village to find these 2 donkeys, and there they found them, someone did say, what are you guys doing? You know, and the Lord didn't tell them, offer them money, or tell them, you know, to get lost. No, you say, the Lord has need of them. And they responded and did that. We're told this in a different gospel, Mark 11, verse 6. And they immediately, the Bible says that they let them go. They said, oh, the Lord has need of them. Fine, take them. It's okay. And donkeys were pretty expensive, but it didn't matter to these people. apparently they love the Lord because they just let them go. And so the two donkeys were taken. Now in verse 4 it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. All of this was done. The whole scene of asking the disciples to go, having the person ask, you know, about them taking the donkeys and so forth. It was all done for this reason, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes unto you, meek or humble, and sitting upon a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9 in the Old Testament says there's two donkeys. And so Jesus said, look for two donkeys, because the word of God must be fulfilled absolutely to the letter. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word remains forever, says the Lord. Every jot, every tittle will be fulfilled. And so they were looking for the two donkeys, mama and baby. Now, the reason that baby was coming too with mama is because, of course, there must have been a very young colt. Be upset if it was away from mama. Jesus understood that. The Lord understands that. He made donkeys. And so the two were brought together. But Jesus actually rode the young one, the little one. The Bible says that never a person had ever ridden on this little donkey before. Now imagine if you were asked to do that. You see that little donkey over there? Nobody's ever been on that donkey. The Lone Ranger has not come to break in that donkey. And I want you to go saddle up on that donkey that no one's ever ridden on. That could be fun. That could be an experience for you. I remember in Haiti, Zach, who knew how to ride donkeys, rode a little donkey, and then the people were seeking to get us that haven't ridden donkeys on the donkey, and I happened to have a rip in the back of my pants that nobody knew about, so I didn't have to go. But poor Marvin had to go, and he loved to do it, but it was quite funny, wasn't it? It was fun, and Marvin had a good time doing it. But actually, riding donkeys is not an easy thing. But the Lord is the Lord. He created that donkey. He was able probably to whisper in his ear, hey, little donkey, how about a ride? And I don't know, you know, they probably could communicate. Of course, him being the Son of God, Balaam's donkey sure could open his mouth. And maybe the donkey winked and said, come on, Lord, get on. But just thinking about it is a blessing. But this came true, and it was all done to bring the prophecy true, that the king, King Jesus, would ride upon a small donkey to come into Jerusalem that day of praise and thanksgiving to him. And so in verse 6 it says, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches. These would be palm branches, because the palm trees were so prevalent in that area, from the trees, and strawed them in the way. You know, one of the sisters at last service, who sits here in the front row, Margaret, Jim and Margaret Hoppy, Margaret said she was driving along yesterday in a blustery day, the wind and so forth, Winnie the Pooh day yesterday, and I think there's one out there this morning again. But she said she noticed the palm branches were in the middle of the street, and it made her think of Palm Sunday weekend. What a blessing for her that Lord give her that blessing, because this is the way it was. The palm branches were spread in front of Jesus as the donkey went down the hill. And just like for Margaret yesterday, the palm branches being in the street that she was driving over, thinking about Palm Sunday. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, Hosanna simply means salvation. It means, oh, save. It means save now. It has several translations. But these words, Hosanna to the Son of David, is actually proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one that God promised in the Old Testament, who would come to save his people from their sins. And this, they were very familiar with saying and singing every single year. because this is part of the Hallel Psalms that were sung at Passover time every year, expecting to see Messiah one day, the son of David, because the Messiah was promised to come through David. And so as they were singing this and saying this, they were knowing that these scriptures from Psalm 118 verses 25 and 26, written 1,000 years before Jesus came, were celebrated every year for the coming of Messiah, and they believed in their hearts as they began to praise and to worship that Jesus is and was the Messiah, proclaiming him to be the Son of God. And so the praises began to rise and to rise and to rise. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Those that were kind of, you know, out to lunch on things and not knowing what's going on, they're just going, who is this guy? This is an unbelievable electric moment with huge crescendo of praise going up. The whole city was on fire, was moved with this praise. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And so the recognition of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Christ. Christ is not his last name, it's his title. The Christ, the Messiah, the one that God chose and brought and anointed. The Anointed One is another translation of that, to come and save his people from their sins. Now, the praise was so furious and so big that the religious rulers, who were very jealous of Jesus, told Jesus to tell his disciples to stop it. This is blasphemous. Stop it. They knew what they were saying, that he was and is the Son of God, and the praise was magnificent. And Jesus just simply said, if they stop, the rocks would begin to cry out, because this is an anointed prophetic day that God had planned before the foundation of the world, that Jesus would walk into and come down that slope. And the praise was going to be there, even if the rocks had to do it. And there's a mess of rocks in Israel. Rocks everywhere. They build their houses out of rocks over there. Wood is a, what's the word? A luxury. Thank you so much. A luxury for them. They would have the cedars of Lebanon shipped in to build the palace of Solomon, the house of David, and the temple itself. They had to ship the wood in. And the wood trees they had were all cut down by the invading armies that would come into Israel from time to time. It isn't really until this last century that trees began to grow again in Israel, planted by the new Israeli nation, and God blessing those trees. And so there's rocks everywhere in Israel. And when Jesus said the rocks would cry out, the praise would have been phenomenal to see. Of course, just to see a rock with a mouth would be incredible. But to see all those rocks everywhere, rocks, praising the Lord Jesus, it was his day. You know, we read this, and you're probably like me, you'd say, wow, it would have been great to see that. It would have been great to be there. Palm Sunday, to see the praise that was going up for Jesus. And oh, what a wonderful time. Well, I have some good news for you. The Lord is going to let this happen again in heaven so that we can be there. And let's take a look at that. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Now the rapture of the church, which we're looking very much forward to, happens in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. As the Apostle John hears a voice from heaven that sounds like a trumpet saying, come up here. And then we see in the rest of 4 and 5, the throne of God and all the peoples of the earth gathered around the throne. That all happens in chapter 4 and 5 in Revelation. So here in chapter 7 is a time after the rapture in heaven. And it says this in verse 9. After this I beheld, this is the Apostle John, he's been given the revelation by Jesus. I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Imagine that, looking at a group of people that no man could number. And there's a lot of mathematicians, a lot of brains out there that could number a group of people. when Billy Graham had a million at his meeting, the first meeting that he ever had a million people at. It was in South Korea. And we used to have a picture of it around the church here somewhere. But anyway, you could number that meeting. There was a million people there. But this is a multitude which no man could number. Of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So here's the palms again. Everybody's going to have a palm to wave. And it says in verse 10, they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God." The Greek scholars tell us that that can be translated, "Hosanna." So there's going to be more hosannas than those first hosannas. And this time we'll be there and we'll be able to wave our palms and say, "Salvation to our God, Hosanna, who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about them were the elders, the 24 elders that'll be in heaven. Nobody knows who they'll be. There is a guess that the 12 apostles will be a part of the 24 elders, and then 12 prophets from the Old Testament, probably Moses and Elijah and those famous ones, all elders in heaven. And then the four living creatures that are around the throne that cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Day and night they cry this, they're there also. And it says, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." And they're gathered with this great multitude, and the 24 elders and the living creatures. We're told later in the chapter here, there will be those that came out of the tribulation period that did not deny Christ, but were martyred for him. And everyone will be together with the palms and the hosannas again. And this time, at the end of the week, there won't be a cross, but there'll be the blessing and honor and praise to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who gave himself on that cross for us so many years ago, forever and ever after that. And that is a beautiful end to a wonderful story, isn't it? Glory. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's say hallelujah together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All righty. Well, beautiful, beautiful. We'll be there for that. Let's go on back now to Matthew 21. We want to zero in on verse 4 again and talk about the prophetic word of God. Now, here in verse 4, we remind ourselves again, we read this a little while ago, Matthew 21, verse 4. This was done. The sending of the disciples to get those donkeys, the people that responded and let the donkeys go because the Lord had need of them. This was all done to fulfill that prophetic word of God from Zechariah 9:9, that the king would come, meek and sitting upon a donkey, the colt and the foal of a donkey. It was fulfilled to the letter with the two donkeys and not just one, because the prophetic word said two, and so they needed two. And Jesus knew that, and with confidence, with great confidence, the Lord Jesus, because he believes and knows the prophetic word of God, and because he is God, he's the living word, and this is the spoken written word that he knew must be fulfilled to every jot and every tittle. He was able to say, "You guys, go over and get two donkeys, a mom and a baby." And because I know that this is the living word of the Father and the living word of God who I am incarnate to present, it's going to happen because God said it. And so you go get those donkeys, and if anybody says you can't take those donkeys, you just tell them, "The Lord has need of them." And it will happen, and so it did. And as I think of the people that let them go, just put yourself in their shoes for a minute. You've got these donkeys, they're worth a lot of money to you. You could sell them and make some bucks. But these disciples approach, and they say, "The Lord has need of them." And their hearts were moved and touched, probably believers or soon to be believers, let them go. And you know what? In heaven, when we get to meet these people, whoever they were, him or her, or both of them, or all of them that had interest in the donkeys, whoever it was, they're going to be able to say to you, I was part of fulfilling the prophetic word of God. I let the donkeys go. And upon the donkey that I have possession of, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne of God, rode that donkey down that hill. And I am blessed and thankful and privileged. The privilege is humongous that these people had to let those donkeys go and to be part of fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, written by a prophet of God in the Old Testament, being fulfilled at that very time. What a blessing to be part of fulfilling prophecy on the earth. Well, you know I'm going somewhere with this, and I want to go right away and get to it. We, you and I, every one of us in this building, we also can share in this privilege of actually helping God fulfill Bible prophecy, being part of that as He fills us as His vessels to be just like those people that let the donkeys go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Let's turn over a few verses here, a few chapters. Matthew 24, 14. This is the prophetic word of God. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And through the Lord Jesus, as He's answering questions about end times, which we are probably in. Just amazing the things that are going on in the world. I think with the invention of the atomic bomb, it was kind of like a big flag that said, the end times are here, folks, because people aren't going to be able to keep from using these things. And so I'm going to have to come back. And He indeed is coming back to the earth. And so He's speaking about the signs of the times when the time of the end would come. And He says this, prophetic word of God. This gospel, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and Jesus is coming again, and whosoever believes on Him shall have everlasting life. This gospel, this good news of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. This prophecy will probably be completely fulfilled through scripture and revelation during the tribulation period when God has an angel go around the whole world preaching the everlasting gospel. But we are privileged. We have this ginormous privilege. You like that word? I just learned that one. Ginormous privilege of being like those that gave up the donkeys and being part of fulfilling this call, this prophetic word of Jesus, that the gospel will be preached to every nation, and then the end will come. It's happening right now, and it's happening in a huge way. Last month, we had come to our church for a Wednesday night service, Kwame Arura from Ghana in Africa, and he came to thank us as a church for giving our money, and your money that went into the box back there actually went to support his project in Ghana. What he does, he works with Wycliffe Bible translators, and they've worked hard and actually translated the New Testament into their native tongue. There's actually 48 languages in Ghana, and they have now finished 43 New Testaments for the 48 languages. They only have 5 to go. And because of our help, they've been able to finish this last one. And it's finished now. And Kwame was so happy to finish that job. And he came to thank us and to show us a video. And the video was quite moving because it made me realize for the first time, I didn't take time to think about it. You and I, we've had the Bible for years. I have 12 translations of the Bible on my computer at home. I studied the Bible with a parallel Bible with 4 translations in it. And we're just thick with Bibles. Probably most of us have 1 or 2 at home. And we have them free in the prayer room for anybody that needs one. But there, in their nation. Imagine coming to know and love a very personal God that you can't read his word. He doesn't speak to you in your own language. That a missionary has come and the missionary speaks, and someone that knows your language and knows the language of the missionary interprets for you. And this is a personal God. This is the God that warms and thrills my heart, that has given me peace like a river and joy like a fountain. But he doesn't speak my language. Man, that hit me like a rock. And then you could see the passion that's in Kwame and his wife, who knows six languages, to get the word of God into the hands of people that never, ever had it before. And this is a privilege and a blessing to be used of God like that. Well, Kwame's finished, and he desires that someone come from our church, because it was our money that helped do this, at the presentation of this New Testament to his people. And that what they're going to do is get a whole bunch of boxes of New Testaments, and all the people are going to gather around. I get kind of emotional thinking about it, you know. And they're going to pass out the Bibles for the first time. Our God, the living God, their God, is going to speak their language. And just imagine how they're just going to devour those New Testaments, and what a blessing. Well, you know, I was praying about this, and I thought, Lord, just got back from Africa, but I know that you want somebody to represent our church there. And so, you know what? The Lord laid in my heart of giving an open invitation. You come see me if God speaks to your heart. You're going to Africa. You're going to be at this ceremony. You're going to come back here and stand in this pulpit and share all about it. Ooh, isn't that scary? Laura's shaking her head no. Yeah, Laura. Man, she's pumped a lot of people up about missions, that girl. But I want to give you an open invitation. God's going to do it. God's going to raise somebody up from our church to represent us. You will represent Calvary Chapel Anaheim at the presentation of the Word of God to someone that's never had their language, in their language, the Word of God. So just encourage you with that. Pray about it. Let the Lord speak to you. Come see me, and we'll talk about it. All righty. Good. Let's go on. If you can, I get all excited about that. Let's go on. Let's turn to Matthew 28, 18. Now, Jesus gave this prophetic word, and he wants his disciples to know, which is you and I, if we want to follow him, be his disciples, we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And he said this just before he left the earth. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. All power. Jesus Christ has got it all. We don't have to worry about the lack of power to do what we're called to do by him, or what he wants to do in and through us to fulfill Bible prophecy, to actually reach all the nations. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you know what? You can go. You can go now. For when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, beginning at your home. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have a missionary in China right now. Her name is Megan Chittichin, and her father is Mark Chittichin, who comes here to church. He was here at church last night. And this last week, Megan sent us an email. She is one happy camper over there in China. She's really on a spiritual high. And it was so fun to read her email about what God's doing and how she's got such close compadres, buddies in the Lord, serving God in China. And I talked to Mark last night, her dad, and he said, you know, Mark, she's just amazing. She just loves to travel, and she's been to Egypt and other places, and I forget what other places mentioned. I think Germany and other places, but now she's in China. And he said, you know, I'm a dad. And I said to Megan, I don't know. Man, it's dangerous out there in the world, and kind of hairy. He says, I'm kind of scared about you going out there. And she just said, Dad, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. I can go anywhere, Dad, and I'll be fine. If it's time for me to go home or to get sick or something, I can do that real good right here. So it doesn't matter where I am. I'm with you wherever you go. And so Mark said, well, I'm okay with it now because she's out there and she's having a blast. And I thought, that's neat. They're taking the word of God literally. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, talking about baptism here, I got to share a baptism with you that was so great. This brother came to me a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and he said, I've just come to Jesus. I've just come to the Lord. And he said, I want to be baptized now. And I said, okay, I'll have to find a pool. We'll set it up for Sunday morning, and we'll baptize you. And he says, oh, okay. He looked disappointed. And I said, well, do you know of a pool? He says, my sister's got a pool. I said, call your sister. We'll do it now. Oh, yeah, okay, good. Let's go. So we did the service and went over to his sister's house, Sherry and I, and went to the jacuzzi. And it had this part of the jacuzzi had stairs all around it and the big hole in the middle. And so we're praying for him. We could tell he's just anxious. He just wanted to get baptized so bad, you know. So we're praying for him. I say, okay, now go down in the deeper part there. And he did a cannonball. He just, you know, big old wave of water came up and splashed over me. You know, I'm standing there. And it was just awesome. It was like we weren't flying on the way home. The whole car was flying on the way home. Just with the blessing of that baptism, this guy was ready for Jesus. And it was beautiful. And I wouldn't have missed that for the world. But we're to go, and we're to experience baptism and do baptism. And it says then, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is for all of us. And I'd like to give you some instruction about teaching what God has shown you to others. From Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Let's go to Matthew 5, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 18. Matthew 5, 18 and 19. It says, the scripture I quoted to you earlier is right here. Verse 18 of Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, from the Bible, till all be fulfilled. It's going to happen. It's prophetic. And jots and tittles are not punctuation. Greek doesn't have punctuation. These are just talking about accent points. So even the little accent points are going to be fulfilled. Every single thing that God says. And we do have the privilege of being part of fulfilling prophecy by obeying the Lord and just being open, being ready always to give an answer to every man that would ask us the question of the faith that lies within us. Be just ready. Just go. And know that His power is with you. When you say the name of Jesus, all the power of heaven rushes in behind you to fill you with what you need to do what you're called to do. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, how we have to be careful not to excuse things that the Lord does not excuse. We must preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, exhorting, rebuking, with all long suffering, patience before the Lord. And to teach men to keep these commandments. Don't excuse those and folks that want to just try to sidestep things. Oh, the Lord will have grace. Go ahead. No. Because you see, he that does this will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so as we go walking forward in the Lord wants us to be on our tiptoes, to be ready with the checker at the grocery store, with the person next door to you in your home or in your apartment complex, to be just ready, to be ready at work, to give answers for the faith that's in you, to be a witness for Christ, to be empowered by Him to go, and actually thus then helping God to fulfill the prophetic word, that this gospel will be preached in all the nations, all the kindreds, and then shall the end come. And so here we are, and God has filled us to do this. Now, one of the greatest obstacles to joining in on fulfilling this prophecy from Jesus is being ashamed or fearful of sharing the gospel. And those things do beat against us, even coming against a pastor in the Bible. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Timothy had become timid because it was a scary atmosphere. What happened is Paul was arrested under Caesar Nero. Paul eventually had his head cut off. This is the last document he ever wrote, actually, to Timothy, the last thing he had to say before he was martyred. There was a great persecution that was arising against the church. Timothy, who was the pastor at the church at Ephesus, became scared and timid. In fact, one translation, I believe it's New American Standard, says God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity. Timothy had become timid. And he began to not use his gift anymore, his gift of teaching and what God had touched him with. And so Paul says in verse 6, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Timothy, you got to get back to it, buddy. Which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Paul had prayed for him to receive this gift. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Timothy, you must not be afraid, but of power. There's that word power again. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. God has given us the spirit of power along with the spirit of love. If we really love somebody, we really have a love for the human race, and that can only come from God, and a real true love for those around us, we will let our faith out, because we know without Jesus, people actually go to hell. And so if I don't care about someone, I can just say, hey, bro, yeah, bro, hey, how's it going, dude? What's up? And just talk the jive and forget about the love of Jesus. And then later on, that person might be able to say to you, why didn't you tell me? When everything comes down. But see, the love of Christ constrains me, the Apostle Paul said, to preach the gospel. The love of Christ. And so God has given us that spirit, the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, a disciplined mind to know what to say. I study the Bible. And I know I can share the four spiritual laws, or I can share the Romans road. I can share that for God so loved the world. Scripture to people. You just know those things and you're ready. And you say, Lord, is there an opening here for me today? It's an exciting life. God leads us in that. Goes on to say to Timothy, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul was in jail for being a Christian. Timothy was kind of backing off, you know, with association, because he didn't want to go to prison. So he was ashamed. He was timid. He needed his gift to be stirred up. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, whatever that means, according, and here's this word again, according to the power of God. For God is able powerfully to give us the grace for what we need in whatever time it is, or whatever time he wants us to share. It can be scary. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus last week. No, that's not what it says here. It was given to us before the world began, before you were born, before you entered the womb, before the world was created. We were given in Christ Jesus the purpose for our lives, and that is to be a light and a witness for Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that were before ordained, before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. And so there's this plan, and it's an exciting, wonderful plan. Nothing feels as good as being anointed by the Holy Ghost and power. Nothing in this whole world. We have our bad days and we have our good days, but man, when we're anointed of the Lord, that's a good day. It's like a peppermint patty. I don't know how to describe it, you know? But it's a lot better than that. A lot better than that. Sherry was really concerned for me this week, because her biggest concern is was she wasn't unable to travel with me, you know, because she's my what's it called, navigator, you know, and I've got to wear glasses without her. But anyway, I had a big weekend. I needed to drive up to Big Bear. It took me 4 hours to get there, and then preach up there, and I was privileged to do that. And oh man, it was so powerfully wonderful to do that. And then drive back, and then I had a funeral yesterday, and then went to Over 50's potluck, and then I had the Saturday night service, and then the prayer meeting after Saturday night service. And Sherry was just worried about me. I got home at midnight, and she said, "You must be dead." And I said, "I feel great." And you know, physically, you get down, you get tired, but man, when the Spirit of God is moving, the Spirit of God's moving. I don't want to get too animated here. It scares people. But the Spirit of God, there's nothing like the Spirit of God. And God will call each one of us to accept that anointing, to open our mouths and become part of the eternal Word of God, to fulfill Bible prophecy as His wonderful Spirit moves through you. I'm getting a little wordy tonight, but I want today. Is it tonight or today? I don't know. Anyway, this brother last up in favor of the Mardi Gras. So you can wear Levi's and you wear a shirt. I'm going to give you a shirt that says New Orleans on it, and to wear these beads, and which they wear at the Mardi Gras. And I didn't know about these beads, and he wasn't sure about them, so he looked them up on the internet. And they represent evil things. And I won't go into what they represent. Why bother you with the details? But anyway, the beads represent evil things. And so the brother was thinking, man, you know, I know the boss is just doing a fun thing here. He just wants people to feel casual at work, a kind of camaraderie. And so, you know, what's the deal? You know, I'll put the Levi's on and the shirt. But you know, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "You cannot put those beads on. You have a cross around your neck, not those beads that represent evil things at the Mardi Gras." And so he kind of drug his feet to work, and it was scary for him, you know, to do this. But the first thing his boss said to him is, "Where's the beads?" And he said, "Could I talk to you for a minute in the office?" So they went into the office, and he said, "Boss, you know, I know that you just mean this as a neat time for everybody to kind of feel together and to have a casual time at the office and all." But he said, "I'm a Christian, and those beads represent really evil things. And I just felt like the Lord just spoke to my heart, and I just can't put them on. I'm really sorry, but I just wanted to explain that to you, and not holding anything against you." The boss was totally understanding. And he went out among the people, and the people then started asking him, you know, "Where's your beads, you know?" And so he kept needing to share about Jesus all day, which was a blessing, of course. And you know what happened? You know what happened? And it's just a wonderful thing. We just got Holy Ghost goosebumps over the whole thing, because he said that it was a cussing office. and everybody's calmed down their language now. And this one girl came into his office and said a cuss word, you know, just out of habit or whatever. And she says, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I cussed, you know. She leaves. And the morality and the sense in the office has lifted totally among the whole staff because of one Christian that opened his mouth for the Holy Spirit in obedience to the Lord with a very simple thing of, I can't wear the beads. I mean, look at that. And it made me think, and I quote that scripture to him. I said, you know, it's like the Lord can take the loaves and the fish and break them and multiply them. And that's exactly what he did in this office. And so you don't know what God can do as we're just open to him to open the mouth. Well, old Timothy was having troubles with being ashamed. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans 1:16-17. You remember we had it 2 weeks ago. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is, and here's this word again, the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That's why the devil wants to make you ashamed. The devil wants to make you fearful of opening your mouth for the Lord. The Lord can do great and mighty things through each one of us. We have opportunities here at church. Of course, we need to be mindful of our neighbors and our workplaces. But we do have opportunities for mission trips. Mexico, about every 3 months, a group goes down, you can go. George is begging for people to come to talk to the Iranians on March 30th. There's going to be that class to study how to do that on March 29th here at the church. July 9th is a Wednesday night, and that will be a night of an impact class for the Harvest Crusade right here at our church. It's an opportunity to be a counselor. You can be a prayer warrior at the stadium. Sherry and I went there, and they take you up in an elevator and put you in a room, and you pray through the whole crusade for the results of the crusade. You never see the crusade. You just pray your guts out. And if you're a prayer warrior, that's something you can do for the crusade, to be involved in getting the gospel put out. I want to encourage you to be serious-minded about these opportunities we see at our church. This Friday night, we always give the gospel a Good Friday service. Marvin has made up flyers and put them out there with a map of the church on the back of the flyer. You can invite people to that time to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ on Friday night. People seem to be more open at Easter and Christmas. And it's just something that happens. And so all these things, and be thinking about, praying about, it's so much better than thinking about the bills. It's to be thrilled with being anointed and touched by the power of the Spirit to do the work of God and let him take care of the bills. You know, it's just the wonderful call of God. Well, let's pray together and then we'll sing. Let's pray. Father, we're just thankful, Lord, for your call, your holy calling, as we read in the Bible, that for the purpose that you have determined for us, Lord, before the foundation of the world. And so, Lord, we just want to pray that we'd be actively involved in the way that you would have us, that your light would be shining in and through us, Lord, that people might see our good works and glorify you, Lord. You, Lord, always you. Thank you, Jesus. And so we give it all back up to you now, Lord, and thank you so much for what you're going to do in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Want to make sure to give you an invitation. I know most of you are Christians. I love your lovely faces. I see it almost every week. Shame on you if you're not here every week. Pastor has to say that once in a while, right? Anyway, I'm not here every week. Anyway, you know, we don't want to be remiss in giving you the invitation to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, the joy of the Lord. You got to give up your sin. And then he turns around and gives you his righteousness. Prayer room's open today. Brother Jerry will be in there and others to pray with you. We have Bibles if you need them. But just an open invitation for you. We love you. God loves you. And he's got a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. He wants to fill you and bless you and lead you and save you. And so may the Lord bless you in that decision. God bless you all today as you go. The Lord has need of you. Yes, he does. to be a light in this world. So God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.